I'm Kara Lawrence, and in the studio with me today are Junqing Lin, who is serving as concertmaster on Friday night with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and the special guest artist appearing in the season opening concert of the Kalamazoo Symphony, Di Wu, who will be performing Ravel's Piano Concerto in G major. Welcome, Di, and welcome, Junqing.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, good to have you here. So, as much as things stay the same, things become refreshed and renewed once again, too. This institution is 98 seasons old, and yet we have a lot of new things to talk about, including a new music director and maestro, Julian Querdi. And Junqing, you have a new role here with us this season, don't you?
I am finally officially here in Kalamazoo as a concertmaster after about five seasons as coming as a guest concertmaster, and now I've been officially appointed to the role of concertmaster.
So you certainly got to see how Kalamazoo works in the community, supports the symphony, and you are not going to be leaving your concertmaster role in Atlanta, though, are you?
No, the Atlanta Symphony is nice enough to let me come here to Kalamazoo to do the symphonic series concerts. So I will be coming, hopefully, for many years, for 5 to 6 weeks a year, mm-hmm. to play the symphonic series here. And hopefully, I'd like to be involved in some of the smaller series that they have, chamber music series and things like that. So I think the role is open for different definitions and different roles, and so I'm excited to participate and honored that the musicians and management of the Kalamazoo Symphony have invited me to be concertmaster.
Yeah, it's exciting for us in the audience too, Junqing.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Wonderful
to
listen to, wonderful to watch. And really, as a radio host, I really like talking to you. So I'm glad you'll be back regularly.
Yeah, we're old friends, right?
So it's back a while now. So Friday night's concert features as soloist Di Wu, who has also been to Kalamazoo.
Yes. Many years ago.
Yeah.
Actually, as a Gilmore artist.
2008.
I know.
A Gilmore, a rising star.
Wait, 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
So
I'm
you
old.
Would have played downtown at the little concert hall in the Epic Center and presented by the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I don't. Yes, that's
amazing. It's probably a blur, right?
A bit. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. It's definitely a little bit of a blur.
After 10 years of, since then, your life has been filled with travel, concert halls, collaborations with orchestras, chamber groups, mm-hmm. solo concerts. That is the life of a concert pianist these days.
Yeah, for sure. It's been, actually, now that you said 10 years, it's been very interesting. I've seen seeing very early mornings, a lot of sunrise and sunsets on the airplanes, and being to a lot of different places. And it's been quite a ride. But it's at the end of the day, I think, you know, what is the most exciting is actually being on the stage and then sharing that music. And that's what drives us all forward. So, yeah.
Even if you don't know some of the musicians personally, do you feel like you can develop a friendship just in that small experience of performing together?
If I do talk to them sometimes, yes. yes, I mean, it's a weird connection, and I'm not saying it's a personal connection. It's more of a spiritual and musical connection that I remember there are times where, you know, if you have a kind of a piano and a cello duo during a concerto, and then you guys are playing in the same breath, and then afterward you will smile at each other because you know that you just did something together. And do I really know who they are? Not really, but for those passages you feel a friendship within, as in the, hey, I understand you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, so in that sense, yes.
Maybe you're meeting their best quality.
potentially. Not gonna, you know, I don't know the rest of them, but in terms of that passage of pushing that, of presenting the same idea of music, then we were absolutely on the same page.
Well, gosh, I like that you value the spiritual connection and the the thing that seems to make it worth the inconvenience of being uprooted a lot and,
yeah.
and having to see sunrises on a from a small window in a plane, but the chance to be on stage and really love those moments.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Sure. Well, where do you call home right now?
It's funny because I just realized that me and the new music director both live in Montreal. So I just moved to Montreal actually in March after living in New York for about 13 years actually.
Uh-huh.
So it's a big move. That's because my fiance moved there for his work. So it's been it's been very different adjusting to a very different pace. New York, it's its own monster. But yeah, I was very happy to discover that we were both from the same city and talking about which restaurant. And the funny thing is we both actually went to this Hungarian restaurant in Montreal. And apparently the waiter there, it's like a gypsy musician that plays a violin. He just pulls out violin in the end of the meal. And then, I don't know, like pulls out Paganini pieces in at the end of a meal. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And we both said, okay, and then he gave us actually a concert brochure where he appears the same series, like a chamber music series as some of a famous musician that I've played with. And no, I was like, this makes no sense. So we're both going to go try to check him out in this concert next June. So yes.
Okay, so let me write this. Go to Montreal, find a Hungarian restaurant.
Yes, on Duluth, and then on the weekends, and then you will see a violin coming. Well, okay. The waiter turns into a violinist that will play on-demand Paganini Caprice or something like
that. That sounds magical.
Yeah.
How is your French?
Non-existent.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
I know a couple words, but that's all it is to it.
You'll work hard to get a little because of the pride that
yes.
Quebec.
I had no idea. My fiance fooled me. He said it's completely bilingual. And when I went there, I was like, what is lundi? I'm like, I don't understand. Why is street signs in French? But and he's like, oh, I didn't know either. I'm like, too late. But yeah, I understand very little, at best 2% of the overall vocabulary. And but I'm starting to understand more food-related words. That's the most important to me. So I'm okay. I read menus.
My guest is Dee Wu, who is a piano soloist, even though we're talking about food. She's prepared the Ravel Piano Concerto, which she's performed many times in concert with orchestras. And she'll be with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra at 8 o'clock on Friday. That is tomorrow.
Yes.
Today is Thursday. So the concert begins at 8. There is a pre-concert talk by the new music director, Julian Quarty, at 7. And also you can enjoy the concert and stick around for a more of a social hour with the musicians and more questions if you have them after the concert. And that's kind of a new idea that Julian Quarty has brought to the KSO, and it's just starting this season. So if you have those tickets, expect to stay late, possibly, if you want to really get behind the scenes with the KSO. Also here in the studio is Junqing Lin, who is the new official concertmaster of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra after several seasons as a guest concertmaster. And he's jetting back and forth between his home in Atlanta and Kalamazoo to perform. So it's very exciting. I don't know what we did to deserve all this. It's fantastic. Well, looking at the program, I see it begins with a piece I don't really know much about. De Vries is the composer, and it says Symphonic Suite No. 1 from Benvenuta. Can you tell me anything about that, Junqing?
It is incidental music for a film, actually. So it's a suite of, I have to admit, I haven't seen the film, but it's incidental music. It's actually more a suite of dances. So there's an habanera and there's a tango, and it's a fun piece. It's always interesting to work on a new piece, relatively new piece, and kind of discover more and more about it. And I saw that as part of a film, and now I need to find the film and see it so I can understand context a little bit more. So
Benvenuta sounds Italian to me. Is it sound have that kind of European flair dance?
Yeah, I mean, it has a really it's a really interesting quality. It takes the rhythms of the dances and he puts his own kind of spin on them. So he's not a composer I'm super familiar with, so I don't really know that much about his style, but this is probably his best known work, and it's very accessible and has a lot of energy and a lot of sultriness and all the things that are represented by those different dances.
Would you say this is one way that Maestro Querti can put his own signature on the season by programming things we don't automatically know and saying introducing us to new music like this?
Yeah, I think that this particular program was actually chosen before Julian was appointed music director. So he seems familiar with the piece, but I don't know if it is his choice, so to speak.
Because of the planning.
And you know, last year's process of finding a music director, Julian was the very last candidate here in May. And so it's been a very quick turnaround for him to start as music director. So there's a lot of things that have to be planned, 2-3 years in advance. And I think this program was chosen. That being said, he seems to have an affinity for all the pieces on the program. And I think that comes across in one of the qualities that made him attractive as a music director here.
Well, right now, let's move on to the Ravel Piano Concerto in G. Ravel wrote two concertos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one is for left hand?
Yes.
Did that come before or after? Do you remember? No. Probably the two-hand piano concerto came first.
Yeah.
So I told our audience that you've played this many times with orchestras. What are some of the experiences you've had with it? Did you begin playing it your teens?
Or? No. I played it maybe about 5 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I played it was in an open-door summer festival. So where, you know, the theater is completely open. So you have to kind of fight the noise of ambient sound.
Uh-huh.
It can be a tree, it can be a bird, it can be bugs, and it can be people walking around. So it was very interesting, but and also humidity of the season as well. But yeah, I love this piece because it merges a sense of jazz, but yet you have the Ravel signature color, coloring of the music in it. And then obviously we have the flair at the end. But the second movement is magical because it floats in a sense. It's a melody that keeps going and it floats, and then joined by various orchestra instruments that creates just this beautiful, beautiful line. So yeah, it's one of my favorites.
French music in particular, is that
yes.
something of your
yes
specialty?
How did you know? But yeah, no, I personally love French music, and I don't know particularly why. Maybe I'm a very visual person, so when I hear all these things, I have not necessarily a moving picture in my head, but more of a color that I see with different kind of sceneries and different piece, the different movements. I see colors and I see kind of the expected scenes around me. So yeah, I love French music.
Yeah, that's one of its amazing properties. I like it for clarity too,
mm-hmm.
because even though sometimes it's an impressionistic wash of course, of color, somehow I find it accessible in terms of clarity.
Because it portrays something to you,
yeah.
in a sense. It portrays, you know, it can be a wash of sounds, but there will be something, there will be a melody float somewhere that it's always a layers of sound, right? So that's particularly French music. It's that they're going to be about 2 or 3 layers going on at the same time. So you just need to distinguish it and bring out what is important, what is not. And the rest of it can be the wash of the sound. In a sense, it creates that color while the melody needs to sing and creates that picture. So, yeah.
For my part, I think this piece probably came up when I was in college here at Western, and they talked about the so-called jazz influence in it. It took a long time for me to actually realize how he was using jazz, because it doesn't swing like it's it wasn't as obvious to me as mm-hmm. I think it would be to you if you know the score. But once in a while, an instrument will take a line that sounds a bit bluesy.
Yeah. Well, it's the harmony, actually. It's in the harmony that he presents that it's jazzy, but also in the way he adds at some of the accents. Okay. So, you know, the tempo of which, the kind of, that kind of thing. So it's what makes it jazzy.
Listening to music can be such an active experience. And of course, the people who are my guests here today, Di Wu and Chenqing Lin, are the players of the music, and you can enjoy their interpretations Friday night. That's tomorrow. The concert begins at 8 o'clock, and we'll take a break now to hear a movement from the Piano Concerto in G by Maurice Ravel. I should probably explain about the recording we're going to hear. It's an old one, dusty. But I thought, Dee, you might like to hear a soloist named Samson Francois, who was French. His career was in the United States as well, and he was active in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. He died young, but I've always found something really characterful, maybe, about his playing. So we'll see what you think. Here's the first movement of the Ravel Piano Concerto, and you'll hear a fresh performance tomorrow night in Miller Auditorium. The 1959 recording of the first movement of Ravel's Piano Concerto in G, and tomorrow night you can hear a 2018 performance by Di Wu, who is the soloist in tomorrow night's program and will be performing the whole concerto tomorrow. She's in the studio here at WMUK to talk about this performance and her career, along with Chenqing Lin, who is our newest concertmaster for the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, but is no stranger to Kalamazoo. I wish we'd had the microphones on during the music, because both of you were really getting into how special this concerto is. It's unlike other more traditional romantic style concerti in that you're talking about, you mentioned color before. Mm-hmm. There's so many different solos coming in and out, many aspects that you can revel in.
Yeah.
With Ravel.
Well, I think you can probably elaborate better regarding the orchestra difficulty.
Well, I think it's really interesting how Ravel uses traditional instruments, French horn, English horn, to a bassoon, actually, too, to mimic different jazz type instruments. He didn't put a saxophone in the orchestration, but he has all the there's a high bassoon solo, there's a high horn solo that all are mimicking, I think they're mimicking a saxophone in a kind of jazz bluesy kind of way, and it's really Ravel, of course, is one of the masters of orchestration, and his the way he uses the orchestras and the innovative sound that he got out of the orchestra is what makes him so interesting to play and try to feel the colors that he was feeling at the same time.
There's a Gershwin Ravel story, right? Gershwin was a younger composer mm-hmm. and thought, if only I could study with Ravel, I might, you know, learn from a master and really become a great composer. And Ravel had some different advice.
That's true. Yeah, just do yourself. Do you, yes.
It seems that Ravel even was kind of fascinated with, you know, Gershwin's talents, and the whole American scene at the time had an influence on this great composer. My guest is Dee Woo and Junqing Lin, and the concert is tomorrow at 8 p.m. and will be led by new music director Julian Querty. I'd like to ask now, with rehearsal schedules, it's not always true that on Thursday everyone's gotten together to play yet because of how things happen. But was there a rehearsal yesterday, or is it? Oh, so you have.
Yeah, we rehearsed yesterday evening.
You've all been together and gone through the pieces.
Yes. And I mean, I think we have a connection. We took a selfie together.
So I know. I feel realize we're both Curtis.
So.
Yes.
Curtis Institute players? Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Some of us a little earlier than others.
But. Not at all. No. So, yeah. Yes. So, yeah, I didn't know. It's really awesome, actually, to find Curtis alums around the world.
And it's such a small music school that it, you know, basically at any one time, there's only about 150 students there. Yeah. So, whenever you run into it's like we should have a secret handshake or something like that. But
we can start.
We'll be making
a salute.
Yes.
We're starting. But it's a small community that, you know, you understand where you came from. Kind of this big door that you open. I remember when you first walk in, the door was so high. It was like a 10-foot door that you open, and it was all wood. Everything is wood in the conservatory main hall, and it has this elegance and this kind of represents this hall of ideal of music that you when you walk in. So I remember I was so scared. And then there's a line stops you, so you just I just stop there and I'm like, okay, you let me know when I can move. But anyhow. Yeah.
It's a converted mansion, right? It has like
it
an
is.
Old
yeah.
world.
It is actually. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you're part of such a long-standing tradition of mm-hmm. and the names of the people that have walked the halls and studied in the same classrooms as you is daunting.
Yeah,
very.
So
I'd love to know who you studied with there.
I was with Gary Graffman. Oh. And so I just actually talked to him yesterday, and he asked me, are you playing my Ravel concerto? And I was like, no, the other one.
Does he have a Ravel
concerto? No, it's in that he basically have owned the Ravel left-hand concerto. So like, that's why.
He has he's had some problems with his right hand. And so he's
so that's played, his now.
Yeah, he plays Ravel, and there's a Prokofiev concerto for the left hand that we've done with him in Atlanta. So I studied in the early 80s. I'm one of the last students of Ivan Galamian, who's the iconic violin teacher of America, basically.
Awesome.
And then Yasha Brodsky, who was a older Russian violinist, actually played Prokofiev violin concertos with Prokofiev conducting them, and was a member of the Curtis Quartet for many years. And then also David Cerrone, who was one of the late assistants of Galamian and went on to be the president of the Cleveland Institute of Music and is a real important figure in American violin teaching now, too. So,
Is Curtis an undergrad school? So did you go on, to another institution after that?
I went to Juilliard.
You went to Juilliard.
Yeah. I went to the Cleveland Institute partly because my teacher, David Cerrone, went to be the president there, and was lucky enough to meet my wife there in school. So, and 30 years later, we're still together. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
And musicians have lives, too. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I know. It might not seem like it, but...
I just took a daughter to college, so I'm like, oh, no.
Well, I know you'll both be focused on the music tomorrow night. It's in Miller Auditorium, and if you arrive at 7 o'clock, you can meet Julian Querty, who will be talking about the music. And if you stick around afterward, you can also rub elbows with the maestro, as well as Junqing Lin and Dee Woo, who will be feeling great after finishing the concerto, no doubt. We have time for a little more music from the Ravel. You mentioned how lovely the second movement is.
Yes.
So let's go back to this recording with Samson Francois in 1959. And tickets and more information are available at KalamazooSymphony.com. Again, KalamazooSymphony.com. Season opener tomorrow night. That's just some of the most beautiful music ever written. And if you tuned in during the music, you can hear it performed tomorrow night in Miller Auditorium by Di Wu, who will be soloist and is my guest here today on WMUK. And Junqing Lin will be the concertmaster for the concert and is I'm not a member of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, but as a member of this town, feel ownership of this wonderful group of musicians who are opening their season tomorrow. Junqing Lin is concertmaster. And details on tickets and more is at KalamazooSymphony.com. Concert featuring the Ravel Piano Concerto in G and the Symphonie Fantastique of Hector Berlioz. So two great reasons to be in your seat tomorrow night. We are near the end of our time together this hour, so let me just follow up a little bit with Dee, and then we'll talk a little about the Symphonie Fantastique with Junqing Lin. Dee, looking ahead after your concert tomorrow night, what else does your season call for?
Yeah.
Are you going back home to Montreal after
I'm
this?
Going back home to Montreal and working on just a solo recital program of Rachmaninoff etudes and so forth. I think I'm in the process of potentially doing a movie music album, so that should be interesting. But yeah, I'm the normal concert and so forth, but I'm also just looking at different types of collaboration that will kind of give the classical music in a different setting and so forth. I was mentioning in the break that in the recent times I've been very fortunate to participate in performing classical music but in different settings with installations or with a ballet and so forth. So those are the things that at the moment it makes me tick. So I'm work on those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Bringing it to different audiences in unusual venues can change how we access classical music.
For sure.
It doesn't have to be in the specific concert hall setting all the time.
Yep.
And I think Julian Querdy himself, when I talked to him last May, had some exciting ideas for that too, that he participated in when he studied in Berlin.
Oh.
They had some pretty avant-garde concerts. I understand. Yeah. Like a concert in the complete dark.
Oh.
So no one could see their music. And the audience couldn't even see themselves, so
your senses are super heightened when you're in the dark. I actually do remember practicing Ondine in Curtis rooms, and I decided to shut all the lights off, and all of a sudden, it feels so much different. And even as a performer, I mean, as when you're playing it, I actually really enjoyed it. So,
well, maybe I'll bring my night mask.
Yeah,
to the concert. tomorrow. People might think I'm asleep.
That's right.
Well, Junqing, let's talk about the Symphonie Fantastique by Hector Berlioz. It's an enormous piece, a big favorite. I haven't seen it performed here in a number of years.
Okay. So. I'm not sure when it was last done here, but it is, one of the most important works in classical music. Is a defining work. The whole idea of program music and music that describes a life or a situation, or in this case, a unrequited love at this particular moment, was a new thing in classical music. And the way Berlioz uses the orchestra, it was also revolutionary at the time. So.
Hector Berlioz, an unusual fellow, and we're looking at the beginning of the Romantic or early Romantic era. He's one of the people that sort of defines Romanticism, partly by taking his own personal stories and putting them on the stage.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was obsessed with an Irish actress at the time.
Harriet
Smithson?
Smithson, yes.
Yeah, and actually wrote her a number of letters which were not replied to, and eventually, because of the intensity of his love, I guess, he wrote this piece, and she heard it a few years later and realized that it was about her, and they actually finally met and got married, and we're married, I think, for 7 years, and it ended badly. But it was a. We were joking a little bit earlier about how it was a different way of stalking someone in the early 19th century. So maybe inappropriate in today's context.
Julie White tells me that in the program tomorrow night, you'll be able to read Berlioz's own words when listening to this this performance, that they'll be printed in the program, exactly what Berlioz intended listeners to hear. So you have the option of reading along if you like.
Yeah.
But as a piece on its own, there's so much.
It's amazing. It really is.
Into.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. The five movements, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a journey beginning with reveries or passions, mm-hmm. Sort of this fever dream, or even an opium dream, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's in the first movement that he introduces this concept of the idée fixe, which is just a little thematic fragment that permeates the whole piece and gets. You'll hear it at the end of the fourth movement, where he's essentially about to get his head cut off, and you'll hear it all through the piece, and it gets varied, and it's it runs all the way through, and it's a way of tying the whole piece together where you maybe don't even realize it's being tied together for you.
This is a tour de force for a conductor, mm-hmm. And so here's my chance to get a little behind the scenes information from you about what it was like to be conducted by five different candidates last season, and what kind of qualities Mr. Querti brought to the table.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be invited by the KSO to be the guest concertmaster last year because they wanted to have a consistent presence in the first chair for all their music director candidates. And it's always fascinating to me how the chemical reaction between a conductor and orchestra works. And there are five very different people and all of different, the connections were varied. And there were good connections with all of them, I would say. But I think with Julian, there was a special quality that he brings in terms of what I like very much about him is he's very relatable. He's very down to earth in a lot of ways, but he's still a strong presence. He has that quiet Canadian thing going for him, and I've enjoyed getting to know him and starting our relationship together again. Another dating analogy, I feel, but for me and the whole orchestra. But it's really the signs are very promising this week, and excited to participate going forward in the KSO and moving forward with Julian and just seeing where the relationship goes, because I really think it has potential to be a very fruitful relationship and interesting relationship.
Well, if listeners are interested in knowing if they have chemistry with Maestro Qwerty, you can find tickets information at KalamazooSymphony.com. Be there tomorrow night for the concert, which begins at 8 o'clock in Miller Auditorium and concludes with this terrific symphony by Hector Berlioz. Let's just hear music from the March to the Scaffold to take us to the news. Jianqing Lin and Di Wu, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you this morning. Thanks for coming to WMUK.
Thank you.
Thank you.